Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The reading of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were still. Other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He has ears, let him hear. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places, if trouble or persecution come because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning. It's nice to see so many real people. Lovely to be back in church. Thank you, Will, for all you've done and the team to make it all possible. So thank you and welcome to Kate. You've probably heard of the great Norwegian explorer, Roald Amundsen, who first discovered the magnetic meridian of the North Pole, and it was he who actually discovered the South Pole. On one of his long trips away, he was never quite sure whether he's going to come back, he took a homing pigeon with him, and when he got to the pole, released the pigeon. And you may imagine the delight of his wife when she saw the pigeon circling around their home in Norway. He's alive. My husband is still alive. And that's what it was like when Jesus ascended. He'd gone in body, but the disciples clung to the belief that he would send them the Holy Spirit, because that's what he'd promised. So imagine their joy when the Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost. Now they had the constant reminder that Jesus is alive and victorious at the right hand of God. And that continues to be the Spirit's message. And that's one of, I hope, several good things we can take away from today's reading in Romans. Let's pray as we come to look at these verses. Father God, thank you for your word and for all that it's to us and all that it means to us. We pray that as we look into this 8th chapter of Romans, you would open our ears to hear what you want us to hear and strengthen our wills to do what you want us to do as a result. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When a Bible passage begins with the word therefore, it's always important to look back to see what's just been before. And with Paul, it's always very rewarding to do so. In this instance, the therefore in chapter 8 and verse 1 not only follows, obviously, chapter 7, but it's a summary of what he's argued in chapters 3 and 4 and 5 as well about salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he uses the word now in this first verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. That implies that salvation is ours now, since we are in Christ and no longer, as it were, in Adam. John Stott notes that in chapter 7 of Romans is all about the place of the law, and chapter 8 is all about the work of the Spirit. In chapter 7, Paul uses words for law 31 times, but only once mentions the Spirit. In chapter 8, he mentions the Spirit by name 19 times in the first 27 verses. So, the story so far. Paul has been explaining his struggle within himself, which is the human struggle, rather like a civil war going on inside us. He says, when I want to do good, evil is right there beside me. In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. What a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I think we can all identify with Paul's dilemma. Certainly I can. As a Christian, I want to follow Jesus closely and do all he wants me to do. But somehow, sin gets in the way, and I do things I don't want to do. Peter Williams was speaking about this last week, at the last part of chapter 7. And another Peter, the Apostle Peter, would recognize this only too well. He said, even if I must die with you, he said to Jesus, I will never deny you. Well, we all know how that particular New Year resolution turned out, don't we? Incidentally, the phrase Paul uses to sum up his predicament, who will rescue me from this body of death, may seem rather odd to us. In fact, it's an illustration from the warfare of the time. After a battle, the triumphant army captured defeated soldiers and forced them to carry the bodies of the dead from the victorious side back to their home so they could be buried with full honours on home soil. So the soldiers who were captured would carry a dead body on their back. And then the Romans, the soldiers who were captured, would then either be killed or enslaved. Not a good long-term prospect either way. So who will rescue me from this body of death? Who will help me with this dead weight I am forced to carry? A completely hopeless situation, that's what he's saying. But chapter 8 is very much more upbeat and hopeful. In fact, I find it one of the most encouraging chapters in the entire Bible, because Paul sets out the position for the Christian believer. Therefore, in other words, in the light of all this, Paul makes this quite extraordinary statement. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's quite a thing to say. So despite all my struggle, despite knowing that he fails, Paul says, even though he deserves punishment, Paul is able to affirm no condemnation. That really is good news. Of course, it comes at a price, but the point is that the cost has already been paid by Jesus himself. What Jesus has achieved by his dying on the cross and rising to life again is to retrieve this hopeless situation we're in, one in which we could no way save ourselves, and puts us firmly in a position of complete vindication, declaring us not guilty and free of any punishment. And there's more. We get the gift of the Holy Spirit within us to be our constant guardian and companion. Can there be any better news than this? And the right answer is no, by the way. But we all know only too well that we each have sin living within us because we are children of Adam. And at the fall, sin came into the world, and with sin came death. But as Christians, we also know we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And he's there fighting on our behalf when we're unable to resist. And the more we allow the Spirit to have his way, and conversely, the less we override him, the better. Of course, we have free will. And so we can choose either to allow the Spirit free reign or to allow sin free reign. And for most of us, I'm sure you'll agree, sometimes we do one and sometimes we do the other. Paul is saying that the indwelling Holy Spirit is both liberator now from the law of sin and death and also the guarantor of resurrection and eternal life in the future. And also that the Christian life is essentially life in the Spirit. That is to say, it is animated, directed, sustained, and enriched by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship, well, it would be inconceivable, maybe even impossible. So for the Christian, life is all plain sailing. No, sadly it isn't. Why not? Because, as Paul has already said, the battle continues in our hearts. And until the return of Jesus on the last day, that will continue. So what can we do? Well, I need you to use your imagination for a few minutes as I use an illustration from cricket. Any cricket fans here? I'm sure there are quite a lot. Right, good. It's all started again. Good to see. So I want you to imagine years ago when I was younger and fitter, I played cricket and was somehow picked to play for England. I told you you had to use your imagination, didn't I? Okay, stop laughing now. So I'm in England's I'm set out as England's opening bowler. But since we're in the realms of fantasy, let's imagine I also have a cunning plan. I have a word with my friend Bob Willis. You remember Bob Willis. He's the one with all the hair, even more than I've got. And he used to thunder in and bowl very well in the 70s and 80s. Most of you are surely old enough to remember that. Bob Willis, I was at school with him, and that's not fantasy, that is a fact. I was at school with Bob Willis. And he agrees that somehow, when I go out to bowl, he will kind of get inside me and do the bowling for me. Can you try and stretch your imagination to think how that might work? You're going to bowl, but he's going to somehow get inside you and do all the work, and do it well. So when I let him come up to bowl, we take a wicket. When I say, well, I can do this one on my own, thanks very much, and I try and it's a complete failure, complete disaster. So all he's saying is, Paul, let me take over. Let Bob Willis do the bowling, and then we will do some real good stuff. And that's a bit like having the Holy Spirit within us. If we let him do his stuff, then we can achieve quite a lot. If we decide we can do it on our own without him, disaster. The Spirit-controlled life, the Christ-centered life, the God-focused life. What is it? It's daily becoming, daily coming nearer heaven, or even while we're still on earth. And I think the secret is not, as many of us think, to try harder, but actually to let go and allow the Holy Spirit in us to do all he wants to do and have his way with us. This passage is about mindset in many ways. Look at verse 5 again. You either have your minds set on what the sinful nature desires, or on what the Spirit desires. It's about a mindset. And Paul reassures his readers that you have the Holy Spirit. You are controlled by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 11, if the Spirit is living in you, you will live. This is tremendously reassuring for all those whose faith is wavering. And I think perhaps for all of us. You may recall the story of Enoch in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. Here's an example to follow, although we get very little detail about how he did it. Quote, Enoch walked with God and then was no more, for God took him away. So he never died. He went, as it were, straight to heaven. As a child once put it, Enoch went for walks with God, and then one day he didn't come back. Walking with God, keeping lockstep with God, is what we all seek, and so that one day we will see him and always be with him. So in closing, let me just repeat what I said. The secret for a closer walk with God is not to try harder, but to let go and allow the Spirit take full control. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for all your word contains, and help us to take into our minds and our hearts the things we've heard about this morning. Help us to let go, to allow the Spirit to do his work within us, the work he loves to do and longs to do, and so often we just don't let him. Lord, give us that freedom to let him get on with the work he does so well. Strengthen our minds, our spirits, our wills, that we may always do those things that you want us to do, and allow the Spirit to do his work too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.